I'm talking about what the Word of God calls sin. And sin is anything that will release fear and stop the blessing. That's what it was in the first place, and it's still the same thing today.
The blessing of Abraham is available to every person who'll receive. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland reveals how the Word of God and the blessing work hand in hand.
In the 32nd Psalm, I want you to see something here. That blessing, the blessing, the force of those words, the word bless, the first time it was used was declaration. That's what it means in Hebrew. To declare. That's the way God created the heavens and the earth, is by declaring life be. Life was. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill up the earth. With what? With the Garden of Eden. So the power of the blessing, the declaration, the release of God's glory in this family's life had one purpose, and God never changes. And that same purpose today is to create the Garden of Eden wherever it is released by faith, hope, and love. That's what it does. And its first job is to remove all evidence of the curse. No born-again believer should be living in a cursed environment. No. Never. So now, verse 1, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, or doesn't hold iniquity against him, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, what did the man just get through saying? He said, the man that has sin stopped in his life is blessed. You've created an environment where the blessing can do what it's supposed to do. So now we have a working definition of what sin is. I'm not talking about what some denomination says is sin, what another one says is not. I'm talking about what the Word of God calls sin, and sin is anything that will release fear and stop the blessing. That's what it was in the first place, and it's still the same thing today. Amen. Fear is sin. It stops the blessing. Now, you know, you could spend a lot of time on that, but that's not our assignment tonight. Now, take a good look at that. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, that's all you could get in the Old Testament. You could get your sin covered. Our sin has not been covered. Our sin has been removed, eradicated. The word eradicated is correct. The Amplified uses that and in this way. The blood of Jesus did not just remove our sin debt from us. It didn't mark the debt paid, as some have thought. No. It wiped out the handwriting on the note. In heaven, it does not exist. There is no record of sin against you. There's none there. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it's not, it can be before the next 30 seconds go by. Have the Apostle Paul get his name in the Lamb's Book of Life with one word: Lord! Shortest prayer in history. But it worked. Amen. Now, we're going to explore this a little bit. Let's turn over to the... I'm going to read several scriptures here because I really want you to get hold of it. Let's look in the fourth chapter of Romans, and we'll see this over in the New Testament. Romans chapter 4. And look in the sixth verse. Now this is quoting what we just read, but then it has some comment on it. Even as David also describes the blessedness. Now that's outstanding, isn't it? The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision or the Jews only? Or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That is just literally saying that God imputed righteousness to Abraham, and then he was circumcised as a sign of it. He didn't impute the righteousness to him because he got circumcised. See? It was imputed because he believed God. Now, here is something extremely interesting here. I questioned the Lord back in the early days of my ministry, my calling. I was raised in West Texas. I didn't know my dad's folks all that well. They lived out in California, and we lived in Texas. But I did know my mother's folks, and I take after that family. I look like my grandfather and my mother's brother, and they're Cherokee people, and that Indian bloodline is strong. And so I was well aware of the fact that I was Indian and liked it. I still do. Amen. And my grandfather's blood Cherokee, and he's my hero. Praise God. So I became very interested when I found out that this New Testament is a new covenant. And I always wanted a blood covenant, blood brother of some kind. And I never could get none of the white boys to ever shed any blood. I mean, they weren't all that interested. Amen. Jerry and I talk about Jerry's Cherokee. And he and I talk about it. He said, I always wanted a blood brother. But he said, man, you get your pocket knife out to make a blood brother. And he said, boy, you lose your crowd right quick. Well, if Jerry and I would have met back there then, I guarantee you we'd have shed some blood, brother. Because we were always looking for a blood brother. Well, I found out Jesus is my blood brother. Amen. Amen. In his blood. Yeah. Now, I questioned the Lord. I said, why did you back there then? And I didn't, I'm just now beginning to get really insight into it. I said, why was the mark of that covenant with Abram, that blood covenant? See, God made a sworn oath to him, and he was standing in blood when he said it. He had him prepare animals for a blood, and made a blood sacrifice. And then God appeared to him. And he came in fire. Said he looked like a burning, flaming furnace. He waited till it was dark. And he put Abram, who was to become Abraham, he put him to sleep, where he could have some spiritual concept of what was going on. And he walked in the blood between those animals. I know as well as I know anything that Abraham saw his footprints in that blood. And he turned to him and he pointed to him and he swore a blood oath to him about the blessing. And he said, in blessing, I will bless you. In keeping, I will keep you. I will fight your battles for you. And as for me, this is my covenant between me and thee. Be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth. Same blessing, see. And he stood there in blood and he pointed at him and said, so shall your seed be. And swore it to him and to his seed. And that's the reason it's so powerful when we see the phrase, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. My God, we have a blood sworn oath, but not in the blood of animals. Where our oath was sworn in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Phew. Amen. So I said, Lord, why did you make the mark of that covenant where the man shed blood? I could understand. See, God didn't have any blood. He didn't have a physical body. But later on he did. And when he got a physical body, he shed his blood. And he shed his blood on that, hanging on that cross, hanging up on top of a mountain, man. I mean, for the world to see. But I said, why was the mark of this circumcision, why was that the mark of the covenant? I didn't understand that. Because the practice of those days, until yet, was to have an open scar. And covenant people, you remember David and Jonathan were covenant brothers. And they entered into a covenant. And this thing was powerful because Jonathan gave David his rank. And but now you could see the scar on both of them. And you see that scar, you know good and well he's in covenant with somebody. And come to find out he was in covenant with the prince of the nation. Amen. That made his covenant father the king. Well, that's all very extremely symbolic. But you could see the scar. David was forever aware of it. After he became king, he walked the floor. I could just see him rubbing that scar. And he walked the floor. He said, is there no kindred of Jonathan left that I may show covenant hesed to? I could just see him rubbing on that scar. It's bothering him. He's wanting to show himself strong to somebody in covenant. That's the way covenant people are. And they said, yeah, Mephibosheth is down there at Lodibar. He said, fetch him. Go get him. But you know, Mephibosheth wondered what in the world happening. I mean, here come the Israeli army after him, man. And the honor guard come and got him. Came in there and he threw himself in the floor and said, I'm just a dog in your presence. He said, get up from there. Tonight you eat at my table. Glory to God. This is my covenant brother's son. Well, I'd studied all that. I knew all that. I said, Lord, why did you fix this in a way that it could never, ever be a mark of pride? Because it's hidden. And it became against the law of God for it to ever be seen. I said, why was circumcision the thing? He said, so that no one could ever tell he was in covenant with me except by the blessing on him. He said, I wanted them to see my power, not just that mark in his skin. I want them to know that Almighty God made him rich. Don't you remember that's what Abraham said when when the Sodomite king came down there and said, you can have all this, just give us the people. He said, I don't want your shoestrings, man. I don't want anything except what my troops ate in the field, lest you say you made Abraham rich. And the Bible said, he lifted his hand to God. no man's made Abraham rich, but Almighty God. And that's when Melchizedek come charging down there with the bread and the wine, covenant symbols, and called him possessor of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Man, that's it. Whew. Glory. Now then, look at this again here in Romans 4. Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. We won't spend a lot of time right here because we're headed somewhere, but we can't go without seeing this. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll start reading with the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man, what man?
Any man.
Any preacher?
Any man.
No, any man. Well, you can say every man. That is in Christ is a new creature. He has been recreated in his spirit. It's not just an old forgiven sinner. Yes, you know, just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you can't be both. You're either an old sinner or you're saved by grace. So get rid of the sin tags. They'll cripple you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has, isn't that past tense? Hath, H-A-T-H, has already, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them. Amen. Blessed is the man whose sins are not imputed against him. Now, folks, now listen. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I don't care if you just walked in off of the street. Don't have a clue what Jesus has done. Been living in sin all your life. God is not holding your sin against you. He's not imputing it against you. He reconciled you unto himself when Jesus hung on that cross and shed that blood. Hallelujah. The blessing is here. Now, he will not make your decision for you. If you will not, just read right on along there. Just read what else it says out there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. He said, God has called me to speak to you in his behalf. Now look at that. We pray you in Christ's stead. I'm speaking for Jesus, and I am earnestly asking you, I am even praying that you be reconciled to God. He's already reconciled. He has already said okay. He has already wiped your sin out by the blood of Jesus. He has already wiped out the note of handwriting against you in Jesus' blood, in Jesus' name, and by his power. He can do anything except make your decision to reconcile yourself with God. And people, you know, accuse us, say, well, you guys just make it too easy. You make it too easy. I didn't make it easy. But I have the ministry of reconciliation. No, it was hard. Jesus did all the hard part. He gave his blood. He poured himself out. He took your sin. He did the punishment for it. Your sin has already been punished. Well, then, Brother Copeland, everybody going to heaven. Well, I wish they were, but some fools won't receive it. He did everything but one thing. He could not pray your reconciliation prayer. You have to do that yourself. You have to make the decision, I am accepting this offer. I am entering into covenant with God. I receive my sins washed away. Now, look at that last verse there in that chapter. Oh, my goodness. Are you ready for this? For he hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, my. Hallelujah. No, you didn't go in the garage of Volkswagen and then turn into a Cadillac. No. When you were a Volkswagen, you died. Amen. Sent you to the junkyard. Amen. And you were remanufactured a Rolls Royce. Yeah. Praise God. A car for kings. Hallelujah. See, you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You reconciled, and when you did, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the love of God, the love of God, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit himself. Huh? The love of God. God himself. You have all of his attributes. You have everything in the spirit that he ever was or ever will be is in your spirit the moment you got recreated in Christ Jesus. Blessed. Blessed. The blessing is in you.
Blessed Beyond Measure is a book that tells the truth about God, about how good he is, about the goodness of God. And the scripture's full of scriptures about how good God is. And so when you find out that he's good, it opens the door for you to be blessed beyond measure. It's a very simple, easy to understand plan that God has for us. He is good. He created everything good. And he wants us to enjoy good. The Lord wanted me to write this book and put it out everywhere. So I took it to be just an assignment, really. To me, it was one of the most important things I've ever done in my life. The more you open up to the Lord and the more you believe him and trust his word, the more he can move in there. He wants to move in because he's good. The more we enjoy of his goodness, the easier it is to trust him. And the more we trust him, the more we enjoy. And it just continues on and on and on.
Order your copy of Gloria Copeland's hardcover book, Blessed Beyond Measure, for only $11. Visit our website at kcm.org and order online. Or call our toll-free number, 800-575-4455. To order by mail, write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Be sure to order extra copy for family and friends. Order Blessed Beyond Measure, the hardcover book by Gloria Copeland, today.
It's important for us to realize that fear is sin because it stops the blessings. But you know what? And when I say blessing, the blessing of God pouring into our life like he wants to, he can't when we walk in fear. But you know what? He has given us grace so that we can be forgiven of sin, of fear, of not walking in love. We can be forgiven of that because the blood of Jesus obliterate sin out of our lives, and he makes us a new creature. He doesn't hold that against us. He's not trying to hold it against us. He wants us to be free so he can pour out the blessing. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I'd ask you today, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? That's the way we think of our salvation. And yes, I've asked Jesus into my heart and I'm going to heaven. No, I haven't asked Jesus in my heart, so I'm not going to heaven. That's not all of it. The rest of it is the blessing operating in our life every single day. But it's so easy to fix that. We can take care of that right here with just a prayer. You know, the Brother Copeland talked about the shortest prayer that Paul ever prayed was, Lord! The Bible says he hears us when we cry out to him, and all we have to do is call on his name and we'll be saved. And when you ask him into your heart, we enter into that place where he can bless us. So pray this with me. Just say, Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of sin and change my life. I receive the blessing that you have for me in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that simple. But it is important for you to know what God's done for you and what he's provided for you. It's not just heaven at the end of the road. He's going to make the road sweet for you and give you all that you need. We have a free salvation package. It's 5 books and a brochure that'll help you on your walk with the Lord and get started with that. Our product this week is Blessed Beyond Measure. This is a great book by my mother. It's going to change your life. So order that today. Don't miss our whole week. It's going to be awesome. Tell somebody about it. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you 5 books free. Log on to kcm.org to request your free salvation package today.
Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord. For your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Now we're finding out about who we are. And you hook my blessing and your blessing and your blessing and your blessing and your blessing. And you hook all these things together and we begin to walk through this earth. I want you to know all hell is trembling in its boots.
Amen.